Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
We're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeves, slightly distracted and confused.
Yeah, and the audio is all over the place, and I think I just clipped out the stream, but, you know, these things happen, I guess. So we've been changing a lot of audio stuff here in the studio, and actually primarily between Dylan and myself, we were using Skype. We have used Skype every week except when we tried out Google Hangout, and that was no good. This week, though, what are we trying, Dylan? It's something that you found.
It's a piece of software called Audio Compass Direct Connect. It's a piece of what would be called audio contribution over IP software. Yes, it's what's used by, you know, proper grown-up reporting organizations to do radio links across the internet.
Right. That sounds very flashy. That sounds really difficult. I bet the interface is amazing.
It's pretty straightforward.
I bet it's nothing like my first Visual Basic program.
I don't think it is. I think your first Visual Basic program was not as good.
I didn't mean my first Visual Basic program. I meant like there would be a book that is called My First Visual Basic Program, and with that you would make quite a complicated audio over IP interface. Actually, that probably wouldn't be your first, but it looks like it could be your first because it just looks like they've thrown a bunch of controls down into your dialogue.
Actually, if you're a bit of a nerd, why would I say that? If you're a bit of a programmer, there's a SourceForge project called Audio over IP Interoperability Engine.
Yeah.
Which is released by the BBC and EBU, which is European Broadcast Union, maybe. Which is a proof of concept application for the audio over pie. Oh, I can't.
Audio over paella. Is that like a big sort of seafood
audio
stew?
Audio over IP implementations that they specify.
Yeah.
But I couldn't make it work. But it is interesting. It uses sort of SIP protocols and stuff.
Yeah. SIP protocols. I mean, I have a SIP thing right here. I'm sure my ISP has a SIP thing. Why don't we use their thing?
Who the hell knows?
Do we even need to actually? Doesn't this just... This creates a direct connection. We don't need anyone else's server.
This is UDP, direct point-to-point.
So it's actually a silly suggestion for me to say that we should do something else. Could we have multiple callers on the same thing? They'd need to know your IP address, and that cannot
be. Yeah, I think so.
We cannot allow that because they would Nmap you and they'd discover exactly what platform you're running. And, I mean, I'm already in looking at all those photos you've got in that folder on your desktop.
I need to go.
You shouldn't have pinholed this port, bro.
Yeah,
I'm all over and in your network.
Through all the file sharing ports.
Yeah. I'm loving it on your computer. So we had our 48 hours short film screening on Friday night at an absolutely fucking abominable time. Our session started at 10:15 on Friday night.
That was late.
Which is far too late. Lots of my friends who were going to come along, number one, couldn't. And number two, had to leave early, even though that meant, of course, they couldn't vote for their favourite shorts. So it was a bit of a... It's a bastard of a time to play shorts.
The latest heat in the competition as well. There was no other screenings as late as that.
Yeah. Aside from that, though, I thought it went really well.
It did. It was, I think our films, to be honest, were the best, yours and mine.
Yeah.
There was some weird, not quite complete and strangely broken films in our heat.
And films where it was really, I thought, really obvious that they'd had an idea in advance and they'd gone with it with regardless of what they got.
Yeah, I thought so too. Apparently other people didn't quite think the same thing.
Yeah. I know that I, in advance of the 48 hours weekend, I find the anxiety running up to that weekend extremely stressful. Yes, the anxiety is stressful. I literally just said that. I find that anxiety to be...
The anxiety made me anxious.
Oh, boy, does it ever. I didn't lose any sleep, but it did. I found something that was quite therapeutic, and that was thinking about what I would do if I got, you know, a given genre. And I thought about scenarios. I didn't write scripts, but I thought about scenarios and I thought about funny lines and funny shots. And of course, I didn't use any of them.
No, because you got Race Against Time movie, which no one knew was going to be a genre.
I had no idea. And when I first got it, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Well, on the bright side, I didn't get horror, which is... Truly, it's my nightmare scenario, no pun intended. I wasn't expecting Race Against the Clock, So, I mean, there's no preparing for 48 hours, frankly, is there? I mean, you can make sure that all your equipment works, but aside from that, what do you do? The only thing you can do is do 48 hours and then do it again and then do it again, and eventually, well, I mean, I think
do it 11 times in a row, and then you kind of have no idea what you're doing still.
Right. So I find that extremely reassuring, I guess. Oh, so this feeling never goes away. Is that what you're saying, Dylan? Oh, because I think I've done it.
Stop worrying about it so much. The feeling stays, but you stop listening to it so much.
Yeah. I think I've done it 6 times. Have I done it 6 times?
Maybe. Hey, if I seem distracted,
yep.
It's because I'm hearing my own voice back in my ears about 200 milliseconds after I say it.
Oh, I bet I can make that worse. Let's see.
Please don't.
I can change it.
No, leave the reverb off.
I can put that down.
Turn it off.
I can change this to 42, which is completely arbitrary, and then I could
yep.
I could turn that up, and then I could turn that up for you, and then we'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely making it worse for me. So let's turn that off.
Oh, all right. Spoil sport. I found the kind of the right section first time, which is quite amazing for me.
Totally amazing, because you just twiddle the dial randomly normally.
So Crybaby, which was my race against time short, that was my 6th one. Assuming that you count the end as my first.
It was very good. I was very impressed. And yeah. Not at all what I expected from you. Well, not at all what I expected from you, but I tend to expect slightly more crass or shocking stuff.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
The version that I'm going to upload will have the original ending and middle, which involves a scene of quite extraordinary torture porn and body horror.
Excellent.
And essentially a journey inside the butt of the protagonist.
Great. Oh, I recommend uploading the original as well, just so they can see how you cleaned it up.
I'm actually never going to upload the original. I'm never going to upload the one that played at 48 hours, just because, do you remember that bit where my lead character lies down on the bed and then claps twice and then sleeps and flops around in the bed?
Yeah.
Well, the fact that I never got to do my colour correction meant that bit after the claps, which was meant to be a clap-operated light switch, the room doesn't go dark.
Do you know what works best for making the room go dark?
Turn the lights off?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
a practical effect.
I suppose that is true, but then I wouldn't have had as much control over the effect afterwards.
Totally,
but
sure.
As I never quite got to the point of pushing all the buttons to make the colours happen, that control was distinctly lacking, you'd have to say.
I did wonder why the light didn't go off. I kind of thought it was amusing that he thought he had a clap of light and he didn't.
Maybe it's just because he's so drunk.
Yeah, and tired. And
man, I drank a lot of apple juice that weekend.
Oh, that wasn't real whiskey.
No, it wasn't real whiskey. And I didn't even make it obvious that we had drained half a bottle of Glenfiddich to replace it. Well, I mean, obviously in the short, it's not obvious that it's apple juice, but it wasn't obvious that it was a lovely single malt bottle either.
Iced tea. I knew it was a single malt bottle. Iced tea is the common standard for whiskey.
I thought it was apple juice.
No, usually iced tea. Well, it depends on the whiskey, I suppose.
Apple juice for whiskey? That's just giving me apple juice cocktails. God damn you.
Nothing wrong with that.
Apple juice whiskey film?
See, I was actually feeling quite down about our film because I thought some things were missing that would need to be there and people wouldn't understand it and it was a bit shit.
Yeah.
But then the audience seemed to really like it.
I've got to tell you,
the reaction was good and it looked better on the big screen than I thought it would.
It was beautiful. I loved that bit where he held up the no spoilers. I loved that bit where he held up the skin tone color match.
Oh yep, the swatch
card, and then he was like coloring things in, and you had some really nice. Although you said they were simple when we spoke about it, you had some really nice effects like that disembodied hand.
Well, the coloring in thing's all fake as well.
Oh, was it silver? Or was he not silver?
No, he wasn't.
Did you? What kind of software do you use for tracking then?
Well, not in the scene where he's in the park, he is silver.
Yeah.
But on the bench, he never was.
Right. That's very tricky of you.
I silvered up part of him and then unsilvered it.
That's very tricky.
Thank you.
So what did you use for tracking?
After Effects.
Huh. I did a little bit of After Effects in mine as well. My tracks weren't as smooth as they could have been, but, you know, limited time. One person doing all the work.
You know, I love the visual style that you established with yours.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So when I
upload... We should stop the circle jerk now.
Yeah. Suffice to say, I'm quite critical of... I've previously been critical of your shorts being goofy rather than... I'm not going to say intellectual, but goofy rather than kind of comedic.
See, last
if that makes sense as a distinction. But this year, I think you really... This is the end of the circle jerk. You nailed it. I really enjoyed your short. Great work.
Last year, I thought we had this redeeming bit at the end that everyone would be like, oh, wow, that's really deep. And no one did.
I don't even remember your short last year.
Was
it the One Room?
No, it was the Tilting at Windmills thing. It was the...
Oh, right. It's what's his name?
Don Quixote.
Yeah, that's it. Well, okay.
But anyway, moving on.
That one, and your One Room in the office? Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, I want to talk about it.
Yeah. That high-pitched voice? Oh, God. Whoo! Whoo!
What else has happened? Do you listen to This American Life?
I've been known to listen to This American Life.
To the When Patents Attack one about 2 years ago?
No.
You should.
Okay.
Immediately, not right now, in about 40 minutes or whenever this finishes.
Yeah.
Go immediately to This American Life, whatever it is, .com or something, and find the When Patents Attack episode.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic 1 hour thing about the broken patent system and how patent trolls operate. And then, after that, you can listen to the new one that just came out, which is the part two of that, 2 years later, which reveals some of the information they couldn't find or couldn't track down at the time when they did the first one.
This sounds like it's probably heaps better than this show, so I'm just gonna listen to it.
Back during substantially. The rise of the .coms and the internet, Jeff Kelling and a few of his friends were working as programmers together at this company in Dallas.
What's this guy's name?
And they decided they wanted to get together
Hieroglass.
The way the tech geeks were doing all over the world at the time, and come up with an idea for their own.
Right, I'll be back in 58 minutes and 1 second.
One of my business partners, Andy.
All right, that was probably something approximating fair use to include that little extract, I'm sure.
There's no concept of fair use now. But I'm talking about the show.
Yeah, so go on.
Review.
Yeah, go on.
Bloody good show. This American Life is one of the best podcasts I listen to.
Yeah. Second to Discourse, obviously.
I don't listen to Discourse.
Yeah, neither. I don't even listen when I edit anymore. I find the marks and I cut it there and then I upload it. It's like I just push it out like a big turd. Push it out into the world and you guys get to smell it, but I never do because it's down a long drop and that's where you live.
No polishing.
No polishing.
I listen to it regularly and they have a variety of stories. Sometimes they're a little more lighthearted, but This American Life has brought me to tears on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
And on other occasions has made me angry at insanity. They did a great thing on how US politics is broken.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh my God, how fucked is this?
Yeah.
But the patent ones are also fantastic.
Yeah. I just pressed the button and it made you really loud for a second.
It did, just for a second. I heard that.
I was just going to see if pushing that button would get rid of that background noise, but it made it much, much, much worse.
Don't push that button again.
So I heard something about what's his name? Barack Obama was going to announce some kind of executive order relating to patents.
5-point plan to do something about patent trolls.
Has he actually made the announcement now?
I don't know the details. I saw something scoot past on my Twitter about half an hour ago.
Obama to target patent trolls with executive actions. No, this is, I think, still just the...
Yeah, I may have seen the same thing. I haven't read the details of anything yet.
Yeah.
It's been interesting to see what he can do. The patent system in the US is fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
And this, the example, I mean, there's one patent they look at in this this American Life story, which is just such a strong example of that.
Yeah. And it is what?
Well, it's a patent that broadly covers... lots of things, but it basically has to do with cloud-based backup.
Yeah.
And it's just so broad in how it describes what it does, what it is.
What's this about Kim.com reckoning that he invented two-factor authentication?
Well, he has a patent on it.
I have to confess, whenever I see the headline, I'd laugh and I go no further and I think, oh, that fucking tool. But
15 minutes.
Maybe he actually does have a legitimate claim. I don't know, but it just seems really unlikely.
It's not one of the least reasonable patents I've seen.
Yeah.
As I understand it, he describes it pretty well with reasonable detail.
Yeah.
Rather than just very broad and not what it is.
The chat room says that they skimmed it and it looks semi-legit.
Yeah. And it was quite early. I'm not sure when he did it.
Yeah. It has to have been bloody early. Honestly, though, multi-factor authentication is, I think, obvious.
Well, I mean, he did it using text messages and stuff.
Right. Lots of people have done it using text messages, but probably only since.
Yeah, well this was...
Text messages are... I think text messages are the obvious way to do it because everyone has a mobile phone.
1997 was this patent.
Right. Everyone has a mobile phone, so it seems like the obvious way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you... I think that obviousness test, it needs to be applied really rigorously to a lot of this stuff. So the chat room points out that SMS is insecure. That's unimportant because this is not the one factor that you use. This is the secondary factor that you use. So this is the something you have, right? And what you have is the phone. Now, you might have some means of intercepting a text message, but I wouldn't say that was an easy job. Generally, wouldn't you have to... you'd have to do something quite tricky to intercept a text message.
Yeah. It's been cited in a lot of other patents as well, which gives it quite a lot of validity.
Right. His patent has been cited?
His patent has been, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, maybe it's legit then. Maybe it's legit, and he can make more filthy money out of being a troll. I don't know. Just like he made heaps of money out of enabling copyright infringement.
Sure.
So something else that's happened this week is it's been announced that, what's his name, Matt Smith, he is going to stop being the Doctor Who.
Don't care.
All right, well, fair enough. So when I first saw that Matt Smith was going to be... So David Tennant was the previous Doctor, and I thought he was the best Doctor of all time, ever. Even better than old Pertwee.
Have they already had a Doctor swap in the newest in the new series?
They've had this is the second swap, and when he dies, it'll be. So it started with Christopher Eccleston, who would say fantastic quite a lot, and then he regenerated into David Tennant, and he was extraordinarily good. And then he regenerated into Matt Smith, and now Matt Smith's been the Doctor for something like 4 years, which it amazes me that it's been that long. Surely not. And now he's going to die, apparently, by Christmas, by the Christmas special, or probably in the Christmas special, and he's going to regenerate into someone else. And when I first saw pictures of Matt Smith, I was like, he looks like his face has been sandblasted. His features are all gone, and there's something creepy about him. But he actually turned out to be pretty good, and I'd say he was probably the second best Doctor behind David Tennant. But now he's going to regenerate into some new actor. And this is always a cause for a lot of conjecture. People guessing who could the next person be.
Well, everyone shits themselves about it.
Well, it's a big deal for an actor. And it's a big deal. I mean, a lot of us, you apparently accepted, a lot of us have been watching Doctor Who since we were little children. And I know I have been watching Doctor Who since I was a child.
And in that entire time, the Doctor has changed actors many times.
Yes.
It's like a standard thing.
Yeah, but it's...
It's so standard that it's written into the... existence of Doctor Who.
Yes.
So that was what I saw. I saw all these tweets going, oh no, he's not going to be the Doctor anymore.
So is what you're saying, is it like, congratulations, have a cookie, that's the job?
Yeah, kind of. Like, you watch Doctor Who and you should expect the Doctor to change. It happens.
There is an expectation. There is an expectation that it will change eventually, but it seems to have been happening quite quickly lately. So I think...
45 episodes, he's done.
I think that the next Doctor should be Idris Elba. Because that motherfucker is just... he's awesome. Number one, this is actually less significant, but I guess historically it matters. He'd be the first black Doctor. I mean, the first black Doctor Who. Obviously, there have been many black Doctors. But Idris is the... If you've seen... There's a TV series called Luther. and it is so good. Oh my God, this guy is an amazing actor, and let's just ignore that he was the captain in Prometheus. Because he was also in that. But let's just pretend that Luther is the main thing that he does. Wow, he's good. Okay. He's such a good actor. He's got an intensity, and at the same time, as he's got kind of a menacing warmth, which that's quite a talent to have both those things in a combination. And I think he'd be a great doctor, a great violent doctor. Maybe like he could have, I mean, you know, part of the deal with the doctor is the doctor's companions. And I think that Idris, Dr. 12, I guess he'd be, his companions would be psychopaths wielding, sawn off barrel shotguns. And that would be quite a change for the franchise. And I'd be in favor of it. And I think probably the Americans would quite like it as well. I don't know if anyone else would like it.
Sure, why not?
And Dylan could not care any less about Doctor Who.
I've almost never watched Doctor Who.
Have you ever watched Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh my God. I'm not even going to mention what the spoiler is. But that show is not the same as any other show.
I saw some Twitters.
Let's not talk about them. I don't want to know. I'm not going to like sneak out a spoiler. Let's just say, if you've been watching that show and you're up to date, man, how was that? How was that? That was unexpected. Of course, if you read the books, then
I'm really hoping.
Yeah.
It's that someone was like, and then I woke up.
That's exactly what happens, and it's 1980s.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. And it's just a kid who's been in fever dreams because he's got the flu, and his grandfather's been telling him stories while he was sleeping.
Sounds about right.
But his grandfather apparently is creepy, and that's why the dreams are all full of dirty sex.
So much dirty sex. Do you want to know what my auntie's been watching?
What's your auntie been watching and talking about? Hey, I could do the thing. Where's my button?
What's your auntie been talking about?
Oh my God, it's so tinny.
Sounds weird and distant.
Oh.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Man. Don't do it again.
I had to.
Just highlights the weird distance.
I'm gonna push this button, and it's gonna make you really loud, and then I'm gonna push the button.
What's your auntie been talking about?
No, it doesn't make it any better.
Still distant, just louder.
Yeah.
An Australian TV series from the ABC.
Yeah.
I tried to make TV series and ABC the same thing there, so it became TVC.
Yeah.
TVC.
That would be a commercial.
A TVC would be a commercial. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm up with the terminology. Checkout. I'm hip. The checkout, is it someone who works in a supermarket?
It is not. It is a consumer affairs show.
Oh, so is it like Fair Go?
It's like Fair Go and Target, but it's made by the guys who made the Chaser.
Everything that's on television in Australia that's good is Chaser.
Yep, some of the Chaser guys anyway, two of them. And it's amazing. It's as a consumer affairs show, it's brilliant.
The checkout.
Highly recommend it. There's 10 episodes. They are very easy to find on YouTube.
Baldness cures.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to put that in the list. There we go.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, it seems that a lot of Australian consumer law parallels New Zealand quite closely.
Yeah.
So a reasonable amount of the things probably apply here too.
I wonder what consumer law you would have to... site to complain about Dunkin' Donuts' new glazed donut breakfast sandwich?
None, because it sounds awesome. It
sounds really awesome. It's got things in it.
Is this a New Zealand thing?
Fried eggs and bacon in a split glazed donut.
Pretty standard. Glazed donuts and bacon is a pretty standard. Maple glazed donuts especially.
Yum.
This isn't available here though, is it? This is an American thing that we can't have.
This is an American thing. So it was being trialed regionally, and it's been added to the national menu, and they say it's a permanent addition.
Sounds awesome. I would totally eat that.
Yeah.
It's about going to the States in about 15 months.
Speaking of...
I'll count down to eating donuts filled with bacon and egg.
Speaking of eating terrible things, Michael Douglas...
you suggesting...
Yes.
Catherine Zeta is a terrible thing.
No, I would never make that claim, and it probably predates that. So Michael Douglas has stage 4 throat cancer, And he apparently spoke to the media during an interview, some journalist.
No, he did. There's no question.
Well, someone later said that that's not what he meant. And he said that the Guardian
released the audio tape.
He had HPV, which is human papilloma virus, a.k.a. genital warts. He had that in his throat, and that's what caused his throat cancer. And he got that in his throat from eating so much pussy.
Which is broadly accurate.
It's absolutely correct. Now, whether his HPV actually caused his throat cancer, you know, maybe, maybe not. But cancer is one of the things that HPV causes. The cervical cancer, obviously, in women, not in men, and not in the throat, but in the lady bits. Cervical cancer is the vast majority of times caused by HPV. And that's also why...
penile and anal cancers in men.
Yep.
And apparently HPV will become the leading cause of oral cancers soon.
Right. Well, it's a good thing that there is one of those things that the people have a vaccination available for HPV that mainly young girls have been encouraged to take and before they become sexually active. And if that happens, then they will pretty much they'll protect boys as well. Not gay boys, though.
That's the gist of it. You get an HPV thing. It makes you immune to HPV as a girl.
And you develop herd immunity eventually if enough people have it.
Hopefully. But some people...
And then boys can go back to eating pussy again.
Vaccine. Not vacuum.
Vacuum? What about the vacuum?
Some people are against the HPV vaccine. Some
because it encourages girls to have sex.
Yes, because...
Girls don't need to be encouraged. The thing is...
against some sort of sexual transmitted disease, they will clearly have lots of sex because there's no reason not to now.
But, okay. A... they will have lots of sex anyway.
Yes.
And B, C point A.
Yep.
When it comes to enjoying sex, girls got the gold star. They were born with a silver spoon on their G-spot, right? Girls get like 98% of the delight. I mean, when it's good, obviously, when it's good. They get 98% of it. We get about 2%. And just think how good it is for you. It's like, oh, that was really lovely. But girls, they're going, they're like vibrating back and forth through time with delight. Okay? It's really good for them. They like to do it as long as they're with boys that aren't fucking useless. And also, actually, probably it helps to eat that pussy.
Yeah, just watch out for throat cancer.
Just to be blunt. Eat it, boys. Eat
very
it.
Very blunt.
So Satan's spiritual...
Some people don't like it.
Some girls don't. That's true.
Some guys don't enjoy it.
They should get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to be blown, then okay. I mean, I guess you could not do this lovely thing for, you know, the lady that is prepared to share her body with you, but you should. You know, everyone should only do what they're comfortable with, obviously. Obviously. But that should include eating that pussy. Satan's spiritual scorecard. So this is actually a fake list, but it's a list of things that we could maybe we could score ourselves against. This is doorways to demonic possession in Satan's spiritual structure, as dictated in like Deuteronomy various and what's the other one? Ephesians, is that what it's called? Something like Ephesians. Some various other things. Things that are doorways to demonic possession include Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Vegetarianism.
I knew it.
Harry Potter.
Okay, that's obvious.
Twilight.
Yep, totally. Vampires.
How is Twilight a doorway to demonic possession when it is such obvious... I mean, isn't he Jesus? Isn't he vampire Jesus? Isn't he like bloodless, undying Jesus?
Anything, broadly speaking, anything that deals with the occult or witchcraft or anything like that is a doorway to demonic possession.
Yeah. Anyway, the list is actually a fake, so it's less interesting. I'm sad that the note has been added to it since before. So now we could talk about something completely different. So I think that we've spoken about fecal transplant on the show before.
Yes.
So this is something that There are...
Or maybe just you and I have had this conversation on our own because it's so wonderful.
That might be right. So the science isn't quite finished with fecal transplants. But it seems like it is a magic bullet for something called C. difficile, which is a particular bacterial infection that some people can get that does respond to antibiotics. But in the majority of cases, but when it doesn't respond to antibiotics, you are left with a miserable life and vomiting and diarrhea.
Well, and that doesn't sound awesome at all.
For potentially years on end. But if you get... now, I'm not going to try and be disgusting with this. Essentially, you get an enema with someone else's poo. And that person has to have healthy intestinal flora. So basically, poo from one person is put in a blender and then injected into the ill person's guts up through their bottom. And, you know, you do that a few times, like once a day or twice a day for a week. And in an amazing number of cases of people with C. difficile, but also people with Crohn's, apparently, people with ulcerative colitis and various other irritable bowel type diseases. It fixes it. It just fixes it. And it's no, there's no like, you know, massive, you don't have to have lots of chemistry involved. It's just, it's poo.
Mm.
It's poo from a healthy person put inside your body in a place where there's normally poo. It seems a bit disgusting, but, and it kind of, you know, it is actually a bit disgusting. And it has to be really fresh because, I mean, I guess the bacteria, you know, the healthy flora start to die off once it starts to cool. And it's amazing. It worked really well. But there you go. There you go. But anyway, the reason that it's important is because the FDA have started to regulate it, which makes it much harder for doctors to perform the procedure. They have regulated it now as like an experimental medicine, which means that doctors have to do lots of paperwork where previously they could just, you know, do the injection. But so because it's so simple, what that has meant is that instead of doctors being able to do it for people,
now anyone does it.
People are doing it themselves, which seems to me, you know, somewhat more risky. But anyway, I think we should move on because people don't like it when we talk about poo stories. For some,
yeah, we seem to keep finding them.
Yep. They're out there, you know, they're out there. Next story. I'd push the button, but it sounds so tinny. I've got to fix that. Don't understand why it's a problem. Now, this is a story that is not news to any reasonable person. Marriages spawned from online dating as satisfying as from traditional dating.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless. Like,
why would it be different?
Meeting people.
Because why would you marry someone that you didn't like? From whether you were dating so-called traditionally or whether you were dating online. Why would you marry someone that you didn't like? Obviously, you're only going to, unless you're really desperate, I guess. I don't understand yeah. that 4chan forever alone thing. I don't understand that. I think that the fact that the forever alone thing exists indicates to me that there are people out there who have actually, they're not capable of finding a partner. And those people need help because if you're listening to the show and you're lonely, I want you to know that the internet is full of dating sites. And clean yourself up, get some new clothes, maybe lose a little bit of weight. You know, it's better for you. It's not about being shallow. It's just about, you know, presenting your best face. Maybe fix the acne problem that maybe you've got. Maybe get a haircut, take a nice photo from a high angle, put that up on your dating site and be really honest about yourself and say hello to the people that are in your league, maybe just a little bit out of your league, and just see what happens. If you're alone, there's no excuse for being alone. We have the internet. There is no excuse for being alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a way of meeting people.
And people who maybe, and you can do that sort of that qualification thing, right? So if you talk about how you're a massive nerd for Migos or Star Trek, the original series, and you talk about that up front, then the only people who are going to get in touch with you are people who can either tolerate that or B, are in the same boat and they're also into that thing. And then guess what? You'll be able to share your weird fringe thing with your new partner.
I haven't been on an internet dating site for a very long time, but I don't imagine they've changed much.
Yeah. No, I expect that's probably not. It's probably not. I would say that NZ Dating was rubbish, and I'd say that Find Someone was really good. But you might disagree with that.
Maybe. My information on this is like 10 plus years out of date now.
My information is several years out of date, but it's not 10 years out of date. I'd say NZ Dating was hopeless, and Find Someone, because people had to stump up a little bit of money, there was less of the hoi polloi there. There were only people who were not fuckwits.
What I was shocked to hear about was that on NZ Dating, apparently most girls on NZ Dating would receive unsolicited cock pics.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's just, who does that?
It's weird. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't believe that most girls are like excited about a penis.
No, and you'd have to have quite a spectacular penis for that to be a good first line. Like, hey, look at my cock. And unless it was like adorned with jewelry or something.
Or really smooth. like it's a piece of oiled mahogany.
Yeah, and unless it stands out in some way, there's not like a follow on from that is, wow, that's an interesting penis. I'd like to see it in person.
Yeah. Would you like to meet for a cup of tea?
So, if you're listening to this and you're thinking of going on an internet dating site,
yeah,
I don't recommend starting the conversation with a photo of your penis.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. You know, now, maybe that will work for you if you live in Gore or somewhere. And what you're doing is demonstrating that you have a single-headed penis. Because I'm assuming that a lot of men in Gore have, you know, because of the generations of inbreeding, they have more complicated plumbing than men who are not from Gore, who have had more kind of natural family trees that don't loop back on themselves and involve flat spins and spirals. Okay, because that's, you know, if your family tree looks like it was drawn with a spirograph, you're probably from Gore. Okay, and
God, I wish we'd get complaints about this, but I don't think we will.
No. Oh, we've got it. We had a complaint. Last week we had a complaint. I should, do.
Let's open up the toot bag.
I'm really sad that that's so Let's open up the toot bag. So we got a couple of comments actually on Twitter. We actually get very, very, very few comments these days. I think people are just, you know, whatever. The show's been there for years and it's just going to continue forever. You know, so why interact? Well, maybe they just think that the chat room is enough. The chat room actually probably is enough. But it's nice to have people talk on Twitter as well. It'd be really nice if people would talk on Facebook. The last time our Facebook page got any action, I don't even know. I think it was Helen Clark might have still been Prime Minister.
We have a Facebook page?
So on Twitter, yeah, we have, but I'd never send anything to it. Oh, wait, no, do I? Oh, I might send stuff to it from Google Reader. But it doesn't really have any activity, so I don't know why anyone would use
Google
it,
Reader.
Honestly.
Exist anymore?
It still exists, I think, until July the 1st, and I'm in big trouble at that point because I tried out something, but I haven't settled on an alternative.
It was like almost a rewrite of Google Reader?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't remember which one it was now.
I tried something out and it imported
Comma Feed.
Comma Feed? No, I haven't tried that one.
Try that, Comma Feed.
Here's the comment from Twitter. You've got your mojo back, boys. Discourse, last two podcasts were awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So that's a complaint?
That's a complaint. But then more positively from Heliopathic on Twitter, Morgan, listening to Discourse, dickhead.
I really want more information about that.
The more information about that, funnily enough.
Oh, you followed up.
This is what I was talking about with internet dating.
That Wait, don't you say you're a dickhead at the beginning?
Big mouth dickhead from the internet.
Huh, yeah, so... Okay.
This was about going to the first date with someone that you met on the internet and discovering they're fat and then still having to pay for dinner and being really disappointed the whole time.
Right.
So it turns out not everyone was delighted with that little joke. I wasn't delighted when I turned up and she was fat, but you don't get everything you want, do you? That was a true story. That wasn't me just making stuff up to be offensive.
I must admit, on the few dates I went on from the internet, there were a few occasions where the description and perhaps...
And the very misleading photo
did not quite add up to the reality.
You've got to be honest.
Yeah, and in fact, the worst one of those, though, was was that even somehow, like, the communication we'd had online, like the conversation or emails we'd sent back and forth, led me to believe that she was a lot more, like, interesting than she was. Like, she couldn't communicate well in person or anything.
Yeah. One of the loveliest girls that I met from Find Someone, I'm not going to give too much information out because who knows how secret she wants to be. She was a real sweetheart, and she was, I think she was a librarian, as I recall. The only thing I didn't like about it was that she kept on talking about how I must find her really boring.
Oh, yeah.
But she kept on saying it.
Self-defacing.
Yeah, but she kept on saying it. I'm so boring. It's like, I'm not interesting like you, is the sort of thing she'd say to me. And
you're
I'm like, are you kidding? But what makes you think that I'm interesting? And I think, maybe she had managed to stalk me on the internet, and she'd found, like, my weird Morgan Show stuff from way back in the day, which was crazy, drug-induced insanity. But it wasn't. It
involved hot dogs.
Hot dogs from time to time, sometimes a cheeseburger. Sausage parties.
It was a special time.
Sometimes a bottle of milk. You know, it wasn't actually interesting. It was just me, generally stoned or drunk, at home, by myself, doing something to occupy my time because I was bored.
What was the one where you projected yourself onto yourself?
Oh, that was Two Girls, God Is Dead. That wasn't myself onto myself. That was Two Girls, One Cup onto myself.
Oh, you projected that onto yourself.
Yeah, and then danced naked in front of the projector.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you can look that up.
I'm not sure that's available online.
Oh, that's
Two Girls, God Is Dead. Might be. It might be online. I actually did take some of that stuff down. I can't tell you why. I think I took even Sausage Party down.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. Other things that are a shame. No, actually, these are all good. No, all these things are good. No, this is a bad. This is actually, well, it depends if it's good or bad. So there is, Florida is its own kind of stereotype because crazy stuff happens in Florida. Like the weirdest detritus of the entire United States kind of gets gathered up in that one little corner down there, and they're all crazy together.
So there's a Twitter account called Florida Man,
right?
Which retweets those sort of stories, and there's also a hashtag on FARC specifically for Florida.
Florida court acquits man who killed his wife's lover because of stand your ground law. They celebrate with, well, I'm not going to spoil it. So this man, his name is Wald. What's his first name? All I know is his name's Wald. There must be something more to his name. Come on, Wald. Ralph Wald. He's 70 years old, and he's a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel.
No, don't fuck with the army.
And he shot a 32-year-old man named Walter Conley. Wald awoke on about midnight on March the 10th in his home and found Conley and his... and Wald's wife having sex on the floor in the living room. This is pretty brave. This woman was cheating on her husband in their house while he was asleep in another room. And she may even have known that he had a revolver in that room, but who knows? Because he went and got that revolver from the bedroom, he came back out into the living room, and he shot Conley in the stomach and then in the head, and he killed him. And he was found not guilty, because of stand your ground laws, because he was at home.
So a stand your ground law is that if you are in your home and encounter someone who's not supposed to be there, you have the right to defend your home with lethal force.
Apparently.
Which seems insane in this case, assuming his wife was a legitimate resident of the home, obviously invited him inside.
Yep, that's exactly right. Does seem insane, doesn't it? Sounds like something from Picket Fences.
I love that show.
Mm-hmm. So the wife, who was cheating on this man, said to journalists that once he was released from jail, because I guess, they were doing whatever paperwork was required. Once he was released from jail, he had promised her a special celebration, quote, because my husband puts me first, he's taking me to the Waffle House.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck. In Florida.
Wow. How old is the wife?
The wife is 41.
So the husband's 70-ish.
Yeah.
The wife is 41 and the...
guy that was shot was 32.
Florida.
Florida. So apparently Wald suffers from erectile dysfunction and... this is prosecutors. They said he suffered from erectile dysfunction and killed Connolly in a jealous rage when he discovered him with Flores. This is the woman. It's a personal insult to conduct that kind of activity in a man's home, his castle. It cuts to the quick. It's brazen, Assistant State Attorney Chris Moody said in closing arguments Thursday. That kind of deep and personal insult when you find another man having sex in your living room and you can't, it would make you want to lash out. And he did.
I don't even think the "you can't" thing is a big deal here.
No.
So
the woman says that she was blackout drunk on the night of the shooting after consuming a large quantity of cognac and remembered almost nothing. Mm-hmm.
We shall move on.
We shall move on to Hamilton, where this is
New Zealand's Florida.
New Zealand's very own Florida. So, so a bunch of men... apparently from Cambridge, travelled down the Waikato River to Hamilton and started to shoot ducks in the city. And people were understandably upset and concerned with this and called the police. And the police got their boat out and tried to get out there. But unfortunately, the men had already left the area by the time the police got there. So they were just kind of floating along the Waikato shooting shotguns. But one of the, you know, there are lots of rules about how you're allowed to use firearms. And one of them is you're not allowed to use them in a built-up area. You're not allowed to use them around the public, you know?
You're not supposed to float down a river shooting at ducks.
No, you're not supposed to. I don't know if the ducks were on the wing or if they were on the water. But there might be a whole lot of other rules that they were breaking there as well.
I think the thing about firing a gun within the built-up area is probably the biggest.
Yeah.
The odd hunting violation is not a big deal.
No. Bucket list. Next story. Bucket list lands women in jail. This is another story from Florida.
Ah, Florida. The America's Hamilton.
Two longtime friends ended up in jail in Central Florida thanks to a bucket list that included stealing from a store. Police say 36-year-old Andrea Mobley and 38-year-old Jennifer Morrow face petty theft charges after stealing bathing suits and beef jerky during a trip to Walmart on Wednesday.
If you can't get away with stealing bathing suits and beef jerky from Walmart, you're not really trying very hard.
Yeah. The newspaper says that the women told police they hadn't seen each other in years and stealing from a retail store was on the bucket list. So there you go. You know, I guess, you know, try anything once. I bet those girls are crazy.
What a ridiculous bucket list.
Yeah.
Wonder what else is on the bucket list.
They're both going to get tattoos on their faces.
Excellent.
And then they're going to try to get jobs as flight attendants. All right, so let's have some good news after the bad news. Theatre owners want to shorten movie trailers by 30 seconds. Because they don't like the people having to wait so long before movies play. That's what they say. I suspect there's probably something about having one more session a day. I'm not sure that 30 seconds off each trailer will make that difference, though. Maybe I'm...
Oh, they want to make movie trailers 30 seconds shorter.
Movie trailers that play before a movie, they want to make each of them 30
seconds
shorter.
Each one 30
seconds shorter. Yep.
Is there a standard length?
2 minutes.
Oh, is it?
Oh, no, they want to limit it to 2 minutes, and normal is 2.5 minutes.
Well, they probably want to play another 30-second ad.
Well, that might be right. They might want to play an ad for popcorn or peanuts or soft drinks.
Well, that's ridiculous because no one's going to go back to the concession place at that point in the movie and buy those things.
Rush out. But you know what might make me do that would be if they had an ad for... I remember at... I can't remember what. The St. James, they had nachos with pump cheese. I know. It's awful, but it's so good. God, if only they had beer back then as well. It's quite nice being able to get
various service stations.
Yeah, that pump cheese. It's dodgy stuff.
Hot dogs as well.
It's dodgy stuff. That pump cheese, I bet that lactose intolerant people have no problem with it because I suspect it has no cheese in it.
Maybe nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese. Put it in me.
I'm pretty sure the Gull station near me has those.
Mmm, pump cheese. And hot, the corn chips were hot as well, you know, which... I mean, they should be, obviously, but they you might not expect it. And they had just some kind of miscellaneous tomato pump as well, I guess.
Yeah, like a sauce.
I want that back.
Thing.
If they had that back, I'd have it. I'd eat it. But probably they can't have it back because hot food in a theatre, it's a bit rude, gross. Actually, isn't it? It's a bit rude. And I suspect it was bad for the carpet.
I don't know if they still do, but the Queen Street Theatre, people often used to go in there with Burger King.
Yeah, shouldn't do that.
Bit of a dick move.
Yeah, that's rude. So it was big news some number of months ago when it was announced that Community was being renewed and they were on the bubble. It wasn't expected that they were going to be renewed. But they were renewed, but Dan Harmon was fired. And he was the creator and lead writer and I guess showrunner or whatever the term is. And so the show came back, but without the creator. And I watched the first episode. I've never really been a big Community fan. But I've watched some of it and enjoyed some of it, you know, just fine. But so without Dan Harmon, apparently it lost a lot of its charm. The whimsy. The offbeatness.
Yeah, well, it was his creation, wasn't it?
It was his creation. It was his show. And he was gone. And so then they had season four. And apparently it wasn't their ace. But...
yeah, I haven't seen any of season four yet, I don't think.
But he's just been rehired. So they've brought him back to Community to fix it. And so apparently that means it's going to get a season five as well.
I'm surprised that it is getting a season five. Apparently it was petering off. Six seasons in a movie.
I think that's the line, isn't it? Six seasons in a movie?
Yeah, that's two seasons in a movie, wasn't it?
Six seasons in a movie?
Just whatever number in a movie.
Six seasons and a movie. Employers more tolerant of hiring inked employees. I am not an employer. And I may be an employer at some point. I've only ever had contractors, though, with my previous business. If I was an employer, would I hire people with tattoos? Yes, I would, but not face tattoos. Maybe I shouldn't go so far as that. There are different kinds of tattoo. If someone had a swastika in the middle of their damn forehead and... on each forearm it said Helter and Skelter, probably I wouldn't hire that person.
You're so unreasonable.
But if someone had something... And I mean, all the hipster stuff, that's banned. If they had a really great octopus or a, you know, a beautiful kind of Japanese-influenced sleeve, maybe they're in. But if they have stuff that's really obviously on the neck or on the face and it's not of a particular style, like I might hire someone who had moko.
Yeah.
But moko that was selected for, you know, cultural significance rather than intimidation value. You know,
to look past. I mean, it's
yeah.
You know, if a facial tattoo or any tattoo that's prominent is going to, I don't know, kind of give you an idea of someone ahead of time, which may not be right.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a choice you make when you do that.
There are consequences to all actions. And, you know, you might be a perfectly reasonable person who definitely isn't going to steal from the till or just be kind of a generally inept and unreliable employee. But then there's a message that you send, you know. And all those tattoos send that. Yeah.
That when she got her first tattoo, a lesbian woman getting a giant octopus tattoo on her back came onto her.
Right. There is something about...
So there's a lesson to be learned.
There's something about octopus tattoos. Some of them are really nice. There's something about the octopus.
I want to have a tattoo. I would like to get a tattoo, but I've yet to come up with a design or a thing that I want to have tattooed on me for allegedly forever.
We had Queen's birthday weekend last weekend, and we took advantage of that here in the penthouse to tidy up the studio and turn the... So we have a three-bedroom place, and we had it set up with two offices and one bedroom. And one of which could be converted into a...
And now you have three offices and no bedroom.
That's right. We sleep, respectively, in a bath and on a sofa.
So you are insomaniacs.
Yeah, that's right. That was a great line. Penelope. That was also a great line. And so we've changed it to having... One of the spare bedrooms actually has a bed in it now. And we've combined our offices. And part of the making that work was tidying my stuff up. And
but that means... Yep. Sel can't do work while you're nattering on endlessly on the internet for an hour every night, every Tuesday night.
Yeah, she left. She was in here before, but she left.
She's like, fuck this, I'm going.
She gave me the evils for 45 minutes. And I've got a glass of wine was poured on my head. She was trying to work, apparently. I think she packed a bag and left. No, we have arrangements. She just kind of was listening and then she left, and that's all good. She knew that I was going to do the show because I've always done the show. But something that came out of that was discovering all these many, many notebooks. I have compulsively acquired and partially filled many varying sized, and like there's spiral bound and perfect bound, and there's watercolors, and there's lined, and there's gridded, and there's unlined, and there's...
This sounds like a Tumblr.
It does a little bit, doesn't it? And there are moleskines, and there are notepads from conferences, and here's a watercolor pad, and things that look like they should be on refill, and just all kinds of different stuff. Stuff that I remember having when I was a teenager, and it's got like weird paintings that I did when I was at camp. And there's
a blue tack in my
office. There's a little moleskin that I filled in start to finish in the Thailand trip a year or two ago. And it's just absolutely stuffed with notes that I wrote compulsively every fucking day on that thing.
Here's an old telecom SIM card.
One of the things that I discovered was designs for tattoos. And some of them are actually still, I think they're still good.
Some lens cleaning tissue from when I was doing photography in sixth form.
Right.
So, you know, I've got stuff in my office too.
I want to find the tattoo stuff now. That might not be easy though.
Because of course, when I started having children, I obviously thought that I'd maybe get some sort of child-related tattoo.
Yeah, well, you can get your children's names and ages.
Yeah, nah. Well, because the other thing was, you know, had one, and so that you know, has certain tattoo styles, and then there was a second, and I sort of thought we'd stop at two for a while, so I thought, you know, you could get one name on each arm or something, but then we had a third, and now it's unbalanced.
Everyone thought that you were going to stop at two.
Yes, well.
Where's the other one? Come on now.
The other one what?
Well, there's a... I think that I have got even more notebooks than I thought. I haven't got all of them on my desk. Some of them have been.
Send in your tattoo ideas for me. The best one I will get tattooed on my body, probably, but maybe not. Mostly not. Not really.
I think that a pattern, kind of an Escherian repeating pattern of sperm.
Sounds good. What about like a sperm hanging on
tail? all on your lower back and on one of your buttocks.
Nice, that would be great.
I've seen guys with tramp stamps, and it's so wrong. Guys, not if you're listening ones. And you have a tramp stamp, you need to either get a full back just to hide the fact that it's a tramp stamp, or you need to get it lasered off.
Or you need to just go. Just go.
Just go and live in Gore. They won't even notice. They'll just assume it's congenital, right?
That's genius.
So apparently employers are more tolerant of hiring inked employees.
That's what we were saying.
Maybe not me, though. I'm not sure how I feel about piercings as well. If you talk during your interview about how both your nipples are pierced, I'm not hiring you. No one gives a shit about your pierced nipples. That shit was edgy in about 1992.
And who would talk about that during your interview?
I don't know. But if you do, you're not hired. And face piercings, I'm a little bit unsure about that as well. Like, if you're Indian, then you can get away with that. But if you've got a whole lot, if you've got, like, gauged ears... I'm really sorry about the abuse that you suffered as a child. Maybe you should take it up with a therapist rather than getting more face piercings.
That's a bit dramatic.
But it's true.
There are varying levels. And
of trauma that people are expressing through their body modification? Yes, there are varying levels. Yeah, that's true.
I have no problem with piercings in general.
I have no problem with piercings in general, but they tell me that a person has issues that they're working out. And I don't necessarily need that.
I think you're drawing a longbow.
That's my job.
It is. It's actually in your job description and in your discourse contract with the secret media company that funds us.
Draw a longbow. It's not a very easily concealed weapon. It's one of the few things that the TSA ever found with one of their nudie rappy scan things. Longbow.
2.
That sounds so bad. See you next week. Goodbye.
You're listening to the weekly show on Whisk course.
Right, we're using that one.